how many of you had your news on this morning to watch the groundhog? How many of you are going to have your TV on later to watch the Super Bowl? Many more watching the Super Bowl than watching the groundhog. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. I had to ask my husband who was playing in the Super Bowl because I don't really follow football. So he assured me that it's the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Men who have worked hard to get to this day, haven't they? Men who want to win this championship and say, we are the champions. We are somebodies. I am a somebody. On the news this week, I've also heard a lot about the Grammys and the Oscars coming up. Those, again, who work long hours looking to be rewarded through a trophy. But let me ask you, is winning the Super Bowl or the World Series or a Grammy or an Oscar make you a somebody? In the world we live in today, does the family, the husband and wife or one or the other who goes and works long hours and takes them away from their family so that they can give their children everything they want, does that make them a somebody? Does it make their children a somebody? Sometimes people feel this need for recognition, a recognition that is set by man, a recognition that sometimes doesn't even have to be to win a championship, to win an award of some kind. Sometimes it's negative recognition. All they want is to be recognized. And even people sometimes who have that negative recognition are looked at by others as somebodies. See, the sad thing, though, is when we are seeking that recognition, that attention for ourselves, then we are being foolish. The epistle lesson that we heard this morning says, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For those of us who are being saved, I'd like us to think about that. I think oftentimes people think, I've confessed and I've accepted Jesus, so I'm saved. But it's a process. That's only the beginning. God continues to work in our lives each and every day. Each and every day we have to confess our sin. And we have to allow that cleansing blood of Jesus to wash us clean of that sin. And we need to allow the power and the wisdom of God to work in us. What we need to understand is the power of God is made perfect in weakness. The power of God is not competitive. The power of God is not selfish. The power of God is not to feed our egos. Does that mean that those who are playing in the Super Bowl or vying for a Grammy or an Oscar don't live by the power of God? Not necessarily. We've seen it. We've seen where that athlete or that megastar gives praise to God for the talent that they have to be able to play in that Super Bowl or to be able to act or sing, to be able to earn that reward. But we also have seen the opposite as well, haven't we? Of those who take all that honor and glory for themselves, who want to build up their egos so that others will recognize who they are, to feel as if they are a somebody. However, I don't want us to look at the athletes or to look at the megastars. What I want us to do is I want us to look at ourselves. And there probably aren't any of us here who are pro athletes or megastars. So I have to ask you, are we the people who are foolish in our own power, wanting people to recognize us for the gifts that God has given us? Or are we the one who believes in the power of the message that salvation is for all people? All people. That's what builds the kingdom of God. For many, the cross is foolishness. They look at it and they say, how can you worship a Jesus that you've never seen? How can you believe in the cross? For others, it's offensive. We see that all the time, don't we? As we see people fighting to have prayer removed from public arenas. As we see people battling against those who speak out for Jesus Christ. There are people who find the cross just absolutely bewildering, not understanding or wanting to understand. And then there are those who think it is foolish. But Christ was crucified for the world. He emptied himself. He emptied himself of all the status and the power that he had as God to become a human being. Even though he was fully divine, he was fully human. But he went to that cross for each and every one of us. And so what looks like death for many is really the beginning of life. I had an uncle who grew up in a loving Christian household. He became a professor, was very much revered and looked up to in with prestige and power in the classroom. But he believed in science and not in God. I had another uncle who grew up in a non-Christian household, who was abused, who learned about God, who found that hope in Jesus Christ, and he became a minister of the Word. See, the good news is God chooses every person who is open to him. We have to make that choice. And sometimes that choice can be right in front of us. It's always right in front of us. We can see it lived out day after day, and we still choose to go a different path. Or we can grow up and never see it being lived out, but we are open to listen to the voices of others. We are open to see how God is working through the hands and the feet of people who love Jesus Christ. And we find that hope for ourselves. This is what we need to remember. No matter what the world thinks, God calls us all. God calls us all. I'd like you to think back to Jesus. I'd like you to think about the people who he called, who were his closest companions. Who were they? They were the outcast. They were the marginalized. They were the despised, the sinners, the weak. They were the ones that the people looked at as being nobodies. What does Paul tell us this morning in our scripture? For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. can that be? How can it be? Do we even understand the words that Paul has shared in his letter? Do we understand that the foolishness of God is wiser than any human wisdom? Do we understand that the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength? See, we live in a world where people tend to look at others and classify them as somebodies or nobodies, when truly what we should be doing is looking at all people as being created in the image of God. Remember what God said when he created human beings? He said, let us make them in our image, in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So whether you and I want to admit it, none of us can claim to be a somebody while saying someone else is a nobody. Because we are all of equal importance in the eyes of our Creator. The world wants us to think differently, though, doesn't it? The world wants us to believe that there are those who have power and prestige and those who have these gifts that make them a somebody. We even have people who use social media to make themselves feel as if they are somebody, where they get on social media and they belittle someone else, trying to make them feel as if they are a nobody while trying to build themselves up to be a somebody. The sad thing is, they are all equal in the eyes of God. But something that is even sadder is that it happens from the church. There are people who say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I serve on committees in my church. And then there's this person. Look at them. They never go to church. They don't know who Jesus is. So I'm a somebody. But they're a nobody. But I can guarantee you, in the eyes of God, when we are putting someone down, when we are degrading to another human being, whether it be through social media or otherwise, we are not wise or powerful in the wisdom of God. The people Paul was writing to were not so different than the people of today, other than they didn't have social media. It was the kind of place where people looked at others as those who were somebodies and those who were nobodies. People who were somebodies were the people who had political power. The people who were wealthy or the people who were born into a royal birth. They paid special attention to those people. They paid special attention to those who were public orators. People escalated them to be somebody. These are the people who are wise. These are the people who are powerful. But what does Paul say? Paul is reminding this Christian church of who they were. Who were you before Christ came into your life? Who were you before you believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world? You weren't anyone that society looked to. You weren't a somebody in the eyes of the world. But something changed. God stepped in. God stepped in and changed the situation. He chose these that others looked to as nobodies, and he saved them through the message of the cross. Paul says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. See, it's God's wisdom and God's power that has been revealed through God's people. And so those who do not belong to the family of God, they just look to Jesus' death as nothing more than a bloody death on a Roman cross. To them, it was just the end of something. But for those who confess and believe, it is a beginning, a new beginning. Because God's power did something that no human power can do. It became victorious over death. Christ arose. He won the victory. He won the victory for each of us here, and he won the victory for those who are not yet here. And he tells us, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to win a Super Bowl or a World Series or a Grammy or an Oscar. In fact, you don't even have to attend church. But what you do have to do is confess your sin and believe in me. In God's wisdom, he determined that the world wouldn't come to know him through that wisdom. Paul tells us, Jews ask for signs, Greeks ask for the wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. That's our proclamation. The good news is that he died for the world. He was buried and rose again for eternal life. So what does it mean for you and I to live into that wisdom and that power that is available for us? It means we seek God's will. We rely on God's strength. We rely on his power to be able to live lives of righteousness, because we know that we have been redeemed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not just having that head knowledge, but it's having that heart knowledge. It's about living as God calls us to live. The message of the cross is the power of God for those who are being saved. It's that power through which people discover that things change. Human hearts change. Lives change. Situations change. New communities come into being consisting of people who have been grasped by this message. Of those who confess and believe, regardless of what the world is telling us. Being in Christ means that we are called to live into his wisdom and power. Not on our own. Not through our own wisdom. Not through our own power. Not by what the world tells us the standards should be. But by what God gives us. And he has given us his Son. So if Christ is in us, wisdom and power and righteousness and holiness are going to be in us. And that's what makes us a somebody. Nothing else. Only Christ. So we don't need to play in a Super Bowl. We don't need to sing on a stage or win a Grammy. We only need to confess and believe and be willing to live in the wisdom and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do live in a world that tries to set standards for us. But Lord, you only gave us one standard. And Jesus gave us those words when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Lord, when we confess and believe in those words, your power and wisdom begin a new work in us. And we pray that as our lives are changed, that we reach out so that others may find that hope in Jesus Christ and their lives will be changed as well. We thank you for Jesus and we thank you for all that he has given us. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.